Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby Podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when you travel, how do you avoid getting completely ripped off on roaming charges outside of Europe? And what are some of the travel hacks you should know about that aren't included in the tech you buy? We give you all the tips you need to know.
On top of my list, Adrian, is my noise-cancelling headphones. When I put them on, I love that it just goes boom, and you're in this kind of sonic bubble and you can't hear the baby and you can't hear that weird frequency of the aircon on the airplane.
The Big Tech Show. Available on all podcast platforms.
Seachtain, an Indo Askeliga.
Lower and once you're in a Elner Donaldson Lish and Ifigoxin, I can hear lower Jeffrey the Dinnerby.
Ni head will and policy Seachtain, Ian Rodayanu and Avira Listad occur Lishnabodge Bogashoot.
Skilty, Fis, Turmi.
Nimajigiri and Dram Honyal Ama, Tamajigiri, Munchen Honyalista.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Today on the Indo Daily. The Blanchardstown shooting on Christmas Eve in a packed restaurant resulted in the killing of two men, Tristan Sherry, the shooter, and Jason Hennessy Sr.
Heading overseas, Ireland is in shock after a brazen murder was carried out in a family restaurant in Dublin on Christmas Eve.
This week, Jason Hennessy Sr.'s funeral will take place with a heightened guard the presence as fears of retaliation continue.
They start to get shot up, lads. People are shooting.
Today on the Indo Daily, we take a look at the ongoing investigation into both deaths, as well as how the ever-growing Corduff feud came to be.
You have another gang in Blanchardstown who I suppose would have been linked to former associates of the Westies gang, who were obviously fairly prolific in the 90s and early 2000s in Dublin. So you have this sort of melting pot of different criminal gangs involved.
I'm Tabitha Monaghan and I'm joined by Robin Schiller, senior journalist with the Irish Independent, to discuss the latest developments in the Christmas Eve shooting incident and how the Gardaí prepare for a gangland funeral. Robin, it's been just under 2 weeks since we saw those shocking scenes in Brown Steakhouse in Blanchardstown. A lot has happened since. Can you give us an update on what's gone on?
Yeah, so obviously on Christmas Eve, you had a shooting incident at the steakhouse. A 26-year-old man we now know was Tristan Sherry. Walked in with an accomplice and discharged a number of shots while it was a fairly packed restaurant. You know, there was families there with the children on Christmas Eve. There was also a group of men he was targeting, a large group of men. And since then, we've had this large guard investigation trying to, I suppose, identify not just who was involved in that shooting along with Tristan Sherry, but also who was involved in the attack on Tristan Sherry. He was dealing with a submachine gun. He discharged a number of shots at an individual, a 48-year-old man, and then was himself confronted, disarmed and died.
A man in his 20s died and another man remains in a serious condition after the shooting at a popular steakhouse just after 8 p.m. local time. Ireland's Prime Minister condemned the killing, saying it was disgusting families with children had to witness such violence. Police are investigating if the dead man was a participant in the initial attack.
And I suppose in the initial stage of that guard investigation, detectives really have been trying to identify who was involved in that attack on Tristan Sherry. And there's obviously good quality CCTV in that Brown Steakhouse. And as a result, they have made a number of arrests in recent weeks. Three people have been arrested and all of those people have since been charged with different degrees of offences and have appeared before the courts.
Is that all relating to Tristan Sherry's murder? Those charges?
Yeah, those charges specifically relate to that. So initially, a few days after the shooting and the attack on Tristan Sherry, we had a 22-year-old man arrested on suspicion of murder. Now, he has since appeared before Blanchardstown District Court. His name is Michael Andercutt. He's a 22-year-old man from Corduff. He's charged with murder. Then subsequently, in recent days, we've had another two people arrested. One of them is 18-year-old David Alma from Donabate.
Sergeant Emma Ryan told the court David Ama was charged in Finglas Garda Station just after 6 p.m. yesterday. Mr. Ama, who turned 18 on New Year's Eve, made no reply.
He's also been charged with murder. And then we also had a 25-year-old man called Wayne Deegan, who was originally from Dunfermline. He's also been arrested and charged, but not with murder.
Mr. Deegan, with an address at Lennoxfield Avenue, Fibblestown in Dublin 15, was charged with assault causing harm to Tristan Sherry, violent disorder and producing a knife. The court heard when charged late last night, he made no reply.
Because in relation to the murder charges, he can't apply for bail at the district court, has been on the high court. Those two men, and I understand Wayne Deegan as well, have spent the last number of days in custody.
But there is a second murder investigation now underway, is that right?
Yeah, so obviously in that gun attack by Tristan Sherry and his accomplices, a 48-year-old man was injured. He is Jason Hennessy Sr., originally from Sheep Hill Avenue in Corduff. Now, initially, I suppose he was struck. He was severely injured and brought to James Connolly Hospital. And in the initial stages, the prognosis was quite positive for him. There was, you know, suggestions that he would survive, albeit seriously injured. In recent days, in the past week or so, he was transferred to the Mater Hospital in Dublin City Centre. And unfortunately, in recent days, he also succumbed to his injuries. And Gardaí are now carrying out, I suppose, a separate but obviously linked murder investigation to that, into the death of Tristan Sherry.
And it is Jason Hennessy Sr.'s funeral that is set to take place now. But what do we know about him?
Well, Jason Hennessy Sr., he's a 48-year-old man, originally from Blanchardstown, who was living in Sheep Hill Avenue in the Corduff area. Because he wouldn't have been overly involved in organised crime in his younger years, which is rare for somebody who since became involved in gangland activity. He would have been an accomplished boxer in his youth. He would have been well-known in the local area, albeit not for violent or organised crime. But unfortunately for him, in I suppose past five or eight years, very close associates of his have become involved in organised criminality in the Corduff area. That resulted in him, I suppose, maybe not being directly or heavily involved in certain violent incidents, but certainly being connected to main players in criminality at the local level, which resulted in him being a target on Christmas Eve.
This incident, for many people, might have seemed like it came out of nowhere, but did it really? What were the events that would have led up to this?
Well, this stretches back a number of years. It's hard to put a finger on exactly the gangs involved because gangland and organised crime in Dublin is so fluid. But essentially, you have one gang in Corduff who Jason Hennessy would have been linked to, Jason Hennessy Sr. You have another gang in Blanchardstown who I suppose would have been linked to former associates of the Westies gang, who were obviously fairly prolific in the 90s and early 2000s in Dublin. That Westies aligned gang have been receiving support from a Finglas organised crime gang led by a drug dealer we call Mr. Flashy for legal reasons. So you have this sort of melting pot of different criminal gangs involved. And, you know, it would have been fairly dormant in recent years. In 2018-19, you would have had a number of high-profile attacks, petrol bombings, assaults. There was a man seriously stabbed in the Garda station. There was one shooting outside a school.
It is a school I know well. I know people who went there. I know it must have been a very frightening occurrence for the pupils attending there.
Thankfully, Gardaí locally seemed to have got a handle on it, but in recent events, that's festered again, which unfortunately led to that gun attack on Christmas Eve.
And Tristan Sherry was described previously as being terrorised by a rival gang in the months leading up to the event on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so Tristan Sherry, he would have been, I suppose, at the top level of organised crime in Dublin, but he certainly would have been linked to criminals in that Mr. Flashy gang we spoke about. You know, Garda Intelligence would have listed him as a low to mid-level associate of that gang, a cohort of about a dozen or 14 people who were operating for him locally in Finglas. But unfortunately for him, yeah, that association led him to be involved in that gun attack. He was previously attacked in the middle of last year. He was the victim of a stabbing attack. And he was also suspected of a previous gun attack in around 2019. An associate of Jason Hennessy Sr. was shot on the main street in Blanche coming out of a tanning salon. And Tristan Sherry was also suspected of involvement in that. So certainly that Christmas Eve gun attack wasn't his first involvement, either being a suspect or being the victim of an attack linked to organised crime in the Dublin 15 area.
And when we look at when this goes to the courts, Tristan Sherry's murder investigation, do you think the DPP will have a difficult time on their hands? Is there anything that would suggest there will be self-defence claims?
It'll certainly be an interesting case. Obviously, the Director of Public Prosecutions has said there is sufficient evidence for a murder charge to be directed in two of these suspects. But if you look at the facts of the case that will be argued in the courts, you know, you had two men, one of them being Tristan Sherry, walking into a packed restaurant on Christmas Eve with loaded firearms. Tristan Sherry discharged a number of shots from a short machine gun. He struck one man, Jason Hennessy Sr., who was ultimately died as a result of that shooting. Sherry himself then was confronted, disarmed. He was subjected to around 30 stab wounds. He was beaten. He was hit over the head with a chair. And the latter stages of his death were also videoed by, you know, people present for that. So those are all play a part in the prosecution.
You mentioned the videos there, which was another shocking element to this, because there was so many. It was the fact that it was Christmas Eve, which is traditionally a very peaceful, happy time. You spend time with your family. Blanchardstown was busy. There was a carol service about to take place in the church just around the corner from the restaurant. But then, like you said, there was video as well that went all over social media. So again, it gained even more traction.
Yeah, it made international headlines, as I said there, because it happened on Christmas Eve. There's no real kind of rule book for organised crime and gangland activity, but if there's 2 days of the year you're least likely to have a shooting or a murder, it would be Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And, you know, all these different moving parts, the fact that it was in a busy restaurant, the fact that the gunman, a suspect, was himself killed, heightened it to, I suppose, the prolific crime that made international headlines. And obviously, as I said there, the fact that the crime itself was video recorded, uploaded onto social media, and a fairly graphic video as well. It was only a short clip, but it certainly showed Tristan Sherry on the ground, fatally injured, or at least seriously injured.
And what about the reactions from politicians, Helen McEntee of Redcar? What did they say?
Well, they came out on Christmas Eve. The Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, condemned it, as did Leo Varadkar. I think Mr. Varadkar himself said that he, being a local representative for the area, he himself has eaten in that steakhouse, Brown Steakhouse, and was shocked by what happened. So just condemnation all around, really, you know, from both sides. Tristan Sherry himself was a father of one, and, you know, people who weren't out socialising would have, if their parents would have been home with their own children that evening. He decided, unfortunately, that he was going to go into a restaurant at 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve and discharge a number of shots.
Robin, there are obvious worries about this escalating further. Do you think that there could be more retaliations? Is that what Gardaí are concerned will happen?
I think there's no doubt it will escalate. I don't think, thankfully, we'll ever see anything the likes of the Hutchkinnon feud, which was the result, or partially the result of the Regency attack, where I think a total of 18 people who were killed as a result of that feud. But I think Gardaí are no doubt that there will be reprisals for what happened. More so probably on the Jason Hennessy Sr. side and his standing within that criminal group, and, you know, his associates will be looking for revenge for what happened.
Threats have been made online and money has been offered by people from one side for information on their rivals on the other. And Gardaí are very concerned that this could now escalate into further violence with serious repercussions.
The other gunman there who fled the scene, the getaway driver, people who ultimately ordered that murder of Jason Hennessy Sr., they will all have targets on their back. And I don't think Gardaí are in any doubt that there will be reprisals, unfortunately, as a result of what happened on Christmas Eve.
Do you think the Gardaí are more prepared this time around than maybe they would have been in 2016?
They definitely are. And I think they've, if not officially, they've quietly admitted themselves that in 2016, when we had, you know, five men, some armed with Kalashnikov assault rifles, running around a busy hotel in Dublin city centre. And not a guard in sight, despite serious criminals gathering at a boxing event there. Daniel Kinn himself was there. I think Gardaí accepted that it was an intelligence failure at the very least, that they weren't prepared for that attack. And, you know, the onslaught that happened after, where you'd multiple people killed within a few weeks, not just people involved in crime, but also people who were just simply associates or family members of those involved. That was a real watershed moment in Irish criminal history, and for the better, unfortunately, it took for it to happen. But Gardaí were given more resources, given adequate support, and I think really those local units as well, but national units, the Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau in particular, got on top of these gangs, assisted by intelligence from the Crime Security Section. And really, I think in excess of 70 people linked to the Kinnan gang alone have been jailed in the past 6 or 7 years. So it shows that with the resource and with the manpower, what they can do. And thankfully, I think they're better equipped now more than ever to deal with these gangs. And that's been shown in, you know, the recent years. There's only been 2 murders gang-related this year, the lowest in, I think, about 20 or 30 years, which is a positive outcome. Obviously, 2 is still too many, but it shows the improvements Gardaí have made in tackling serious organised crime in Dublin and across Ireland.
And only the first gangland shooting of 2023. It happened in November. It was the killing of Brandon Ledwidge in Finglas. Is there any suggestion whether that incident and the incident on Christmas Eve are linked?
No, at this stage there's no suggestion they're in any way linked. I know geographically they're in close proximity to one another. They're in this, I suppose, K district that polices Blanchardstown, Finglas and Cabra Garda Station. And obviously the Finglas link to the suspects for Jason Hennessy Sr.'s murder, it's obviously in close proximity to where Brandon Ledwidge was shot, but they seem to be completely different murders linked to different criminal groups. Ledwidge was a 23-year-old man, himself was heavily involved in gang activity at a local level, and the feeling is that he stepped in a few toes trying to climb up that ladder and make a name for himself, which unfortunately led to his demise. But that at this stage anyway, Gardaí don't think there's any link between the murder of Brandon Ledwidge and the attack at Brown Steakhouse on Christmas Eve.
When we compared the Regency shooting and the shooting at Brown Steakhouse, both were really public, very shocking, garnered loads of public attention. Do you think that the attack on Christmas Eve was designed to send a message?
It's hard to say what these people have in their minds when they, you know, probably taking a certain amount of drugs, coked up their head, walk into a busy steakhouse and start letting off shots. I don't think they think that deep into it. Whereas with the Regency, maybe the fact that, you know, you had gunmen going around in Garda uniform, that he had hit team dressed as a woman and her partner, the planning that went into it was on a different level. And it shows, you know, the Hutchkinen feud is obviously an international crime feud involving international crime gangs, whereas this is very much a localised feud, albeit backed by more serious players.
Robin, gang-related funerals, they can often cause a lot of logistical headaches for Gardaí. You've covered them before. Definitely they're usually covered by the media because of what takes place there. What type of heightened presence can we expect at Jason Hennessy Sr.'s funeral now?
Well, there will be a significant guard operation in place for that, given what's happened, given the fears of reprisal attacks. While unlikely to happen, I think Gardaí would be fearful that there may be some kind of firearms incident here, or maybe not directly at the funeral itself, but in subsequent, I suppose, celebrations of Jason Hennessy Sr.'s life. And there's also that fear of public order offences, more so on, you know, mourners there, that there may be, you know, driving incidents. We've seen recently, even for the Ledwidge funeral, where there was a display of scramblers driving around the area, rallying around. While not the high priority for Gardaí, it certainly is unsettling for the local community to see. And I think from a Garda perspective, they may have to turn a blind eye to a certain degree to that. You have obviously people who are highly emotional, trying to celebrate and mourn for their friend, their family member, their loved one. And there's a balance there of letting them mourn, but making sure it's respectfully done. So all those different things left to consider. And certainly it won't be like any normal funeral. It mightn't be to the extent of maybe these Hutchkinen funerals, where you would have had, you know, teams from the emergency response unit, snipers, sniffer dogs, bomb sniffing dogs out. But certainly there will be a fairly large armed and uniformed Garda presence.
And we saw that when it came to the Hutchkinen feud, and like you mentioned there, even attending a funeral can lead to deadly consequences for some. I'm thinking of the Noel Kerwin murder.
Yeah, that was a particularly gruesome one. Noel Duck at Kerwin, as he's known, would have been from the Northerner city, and in later life moved out to Rowlandstown in Dublin. And in February 2016, he attended a funeral of Eddie Neddy Hutch, who was the older brother of Gerard the Monk Hutch. And he was simply photographed after the funeral, leaving the ceremony, and happened to, I don't think he was even in company with Gerard Hutch. I think he was just walking beside him. He was photographed and at least seen by people there. And that seems to have been enough motivation for the Kinnan gang to carry out his murder.
Often with these funerals, they can be very ostentatious. They're very much a sign or a show of solidarity for the gang themselves and what they have gone through losing a member of their gang. What's your opinion on that?
Well, look, in one way, it's up to, you know, people to mourn how they see fit in a respectful way, and that doesn't interfere with other people. In another way, it's not the best idea. I think the most high-profile example is that David Byrne funeral. He was obviously shot dead in the Regency Hotel. And in Dublin City Centre, he had this massive display of wealth on show, this display of power by the Kinnan gang.
It was 10, some people say 11 stretch limos. It was 10 stretch limos, two hearses and three motorbikes, plus the three horse-drawn carriages and whatever went on. One newspaper this morning saying the drinks bill in the Bell Garda Inn was 25,000 and was footed by one person. Forget about the personal mourning and the important personal mourning of the family members. But the other end of it was a display of untrammelled wealth.
And a lot of David Byrne's close associates would have worn these matching kind of dark navy suits. and put themselves out there. It was essentially pinning their flags at Kinnan mast. And a lot of them would have been known. You would have had the likes of Liam Byrne, Freddie Thompson, Thomas Bomber Cavanagh, who are all, I suppose, well known and established in organised crime circles. But then you would have had other people who mightn't have been on the Garda radar necessarily. One man in particular, Declan Brady, who became known as Mr. Nobody, he was at the funeral in his colours and certainly piqued the interest of Gardaí and would have been placed under surveillance and later convicted of serious crimes as a result. And I think from that end of it, it's can be a very, I suppose, slippery slope for criminal gangs to pin your colours to the mast and openly display your allegiance to a crime gang, not just because Gardaí could be watching, and I've no doubt they will be watching the upcoming funerals, if not to prevent any incidents, but also from intelligence gathering perspective, but also that there are fears that, you know, you could find yourself in the crosshairs of a criminal gang who blame you, or at least blame your gang, for the death of one of their members. So those are two kind of different reasons, the Garda perspective and the opposing faction perspective, why that could be, a slippery slope for some people.
And my thanks to Robin Schiller. I'm Tabitha Monaghan, and today's episode of The Indo Daily was produced by Ian Doyle, researched by Keane O'Brien, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. Archive clips from RTE News, Virgin Media News, Sky News Australia and The Irish Independent. If you enjoy The Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow and leave us a review.
An Irish Independent digital subscription doesn't just get you the news. It gets you the best of Ireland's stories all in one place. Whether it's the best of politics, business, sport, entertainment or lifestyle. Get it all for just €4 a month for 12 months when you first subscribe. Visit independent.ie/subscribe today. Irish Independent. Terms and conditions apply. Cancel anytime.